Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with Home.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place, a place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz. A journey I'll never forget.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love alone. I wish I was home, I wish I was with the things I've been knowing. When that makes the tall grass bend into leaves, suddenly the raindrops that fall, they have a meaning, sprinkling the sea, makes it all.
We try and stay.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Woo, what a great weekend I had. And now we're in the fall of the year, and we only got about 78 days left in this year. Can you believe? Can you believe it? We're going to be in 2019. I'm just like, go God, do your stuff in my life. You know, I'm just so grateful. And I just want us to start off this morning just being grateful. Grateful for this year, no matter how and what happened. Grateful for all the things that God is going to bring into our lives, and how we're up-leveling our spirits, and how we're up-leveling and moving into the goals of our souls, expressing more of our authentic, beautiful, powerful self. And I just want us to move into a space this morning where we're in total gratitude. Thank you for tuning in this morning. As we move into the presence, I invite you to invoke and invite the presence of your God self. Remembering that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that presence is God. The good. The omniscient. Omnipresent. Recognizing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so right now, I just want you to say, thank you, God. And as we move into the intentional part of the breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath. I want you to be intentional about the breath. Because sometimes we forget to breathe, and I want you to breathe deep into the diaphragm. Knowing that you are all that God is. And as we move into that spirit, that all knowing, infinite wisdom, I just want us to just breathe. Be still and know that I am God. I want you to breathe. And then release. And as you release all things right now, just release it. All concerns, all thoughts, surrendering to the presence, knowing that you are all that God is. Let's breathe again, family. Be still. Know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And just being present in the body right now, just being present in this right now moment, not thinking about yesterday, not thinking about the next moment, not thinking about today, but just being very present in this right now moment, giving thanks that you are all the God is. Come on, Holy Spirit, and let's breathe again, family. Be still and know that I am God. Come, Holy Spirit, let's breathe. And release. surrender to the power and the presence of your higher mind self. Just come, Holy Spirit, and let us think your thoughts this morning. And breathe your breath, that every word we speak will be your words. Holy Spirit, come as we take another breath, giving thanks. Come on, Holy Spirit. Thanking God for our lives this morning. Thank you, God, for the manifestation of all that we are in this right now moment, God. Thank you, God. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. I am so grateful. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe for me. Release as we invite the energy of forgiveness
Day 1, a prayer of forgiveness. Today I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Oh, yes. Divine Mother, Father, God, precious and Holy Spirit, I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and speak to our minds. Take over our thoughts, God. Create in us a new spirit, God, and transform all that is no longer serving our highest good to move it in and disintegrate it into the light of love. God, I'm asking you to cleanse every emotional space in our body, God. I'm asking you to cleanse the behavior, the patterns, and the thoughts that are in every cell, every muscle fiber, and every organ in our body, God. I ask you to bring forth your blessings upon us today, God. I ask you to open up your doors, your windows, your gates, your heaven, and blow our mind today, God, with a blessing, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and wow us today, God. Oh, make that blessing so big, God, that we know only you could have come forth and brought forth that what is so, God. We just thank you right now, God, for the blessings, God. We thank you right now for new cars, God. We thank you right now for new homes, God. We thank you right now for new multi-million dollar inventions, witty ideas and witty inventions, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth the blessing of Solomon upon our life right now, God, so there will be no room for nothing but what you have given us, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I wanted you to open up your windows, your gates, your heaven, and pour out a blessing upon us that it won't be room enough to receive it, God. Only you, God, could have done what you've done, God. Oh, open up doors that no man can open, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and close doors that only you can close, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and let us feel the presence of you in our consciousness right now, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a healing like no other. Mother, Father, God, I come especially for you right now. In this right now moment, God, I ask you to bless the land. Father, God, I ask you to come and bring protection to our children right now, God. Asking you to bring peace where there's no peace, Holy Spirit. Peace, be still, God. Peace, be still, God. I know, God, that I may not know the answer to the peace in our communities, but you know the answer, God, and I'm asking you to manifest the glory of that answer right here, because I know today is not a surprise to you, God, but I know the answer is in the community, God. I know the answer relies within us, God, and I know that there's something we can do, God, to bring forth peace where not another soul, not another baby will be taken out through gun violence, God. I ask you to bring peace right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring a love ambassador to every corner, on every block. May every home be filled with peace today, God. Because I know whatever's going on in the home is an example of what's happening in our communities, God. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bless the homes on the inside, God. I'm asking you to bless the homes on the outside, God. I'm asking you to bring your dispatch, your legion of healing angels in our city right now, God. Matter of fact, in every city, in every block, on every home, God, I'm asking you to bring love in the soil, God. Bring love to the atmosphere, God. God, I'm asking you to open up your doors, your windows, your gates, and your heaven and pour out a love potion upon our communities, God. That we could feel the effects of that love. Holy Spirit, I remember when we were in Argyle Garden, and I remember that our prayers changed things, God. I remember our prayers slowed down the gunshots. I remember our prayers changing the trajectory of how things were happening in Argyle Garden. And I know our prayers today can not only change that space, but it can change how people are moving and navigating in the whole planet, God. So I'm asking you to give us the words to the prayers that need to be said, God. I'm asking you to give us the action that need to be acted upon to create the peace that should be on this land right now, where our babies can go back outside with no worries and play hopscotch, jump, double-dutch, walk to school and do what they need to do to live a full life, God. I'm asking you right now, Holy Spirit, to deliver the answer right now. To download in somebody's spirit right now, if not in all of our spirits, collectively as we come together to bring forth the answers, God. I'm asking you to come, God, and bring forth those answers, because maybe the prayers have not been the right prayers. Maybe the questions have not been the right questions. But whatever the question should be asked, give us the question. Give us the answer. Show us the way. Lead and guide us, and let us get out our own way, God. I think sometimes we get caught up in our own ego to be seen, that we're not caught up in the process of what it takes to really bring an answer, protection, and love back into our communities. I pray this special prayer upon our land today, God. I pray this special prayer around our communities, God. I pray this special prayer around our homes today, God. That whatever is happening inside the house can be healed right now, God. Asking you for a special protection around our children. They want to live, God, so that they can grow and be mighty in the land. I ask this special prayer today, God, to be delivered into the hearts of those who will take the action that you have given the answer to. And wherever that answer is, however I can serve, God, let me know, and I'll be right there, God, to make manifest the glory of whatever you've downloaded in whoever's spirit to bring forth peace. Peace be still. And so it is. And so it is, God. I ask for peace. Peace, God. Somewhere, peace be upon the land. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for a peaceful land. Thank you for a peaceful heart and a peaceful mind, God. Thank you that peace shall reign supreme in the land, God, in the atmosphere. great rise and sound, a great awakening. You tuned in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram, and I am your lady lover. And that was Marvin Sapp, Perfect Peace. I'm going to start off by reading the signs of the mind. Be still and know that I am God. You know, my heart leaped for joy when I saw that today. Psalm 46 and 10. Today is Monday, October 15th. Be still and know that I'm God. Now, we believe there is a vision, a mental vision, which looks away from what doesn't belong and looks at the place that does. According to where the spiritual vision is set in the realm of unconditional ideas, in the realm of unconditional causes, Thomas said, this is what we are dealing with. Whether or not we are aware of the fact, we are still dealing with it. And what it shall do for us will not depend upon it. Because what it does for us is a reaction of what we have done, not to it, but in it. You see, I was explaining to a young fellow this morning, a young producer at one of the studios. He was working so hard. And I said, Larry, you don't force anything. You don't coerce anything. You don't hold any thoughts. You don't put in anything. You always take it out. Always. It is already in there. His mind was all burdened with things he has to do. He has a great responsibility, and he was making it a personal thing. He had to make things happen. Do I know that song? But now is the time to relax, I thought. You take everything out, and he said, then what makes it happen? I said, it is like you put the acorn in the ground. That is your part. Now there's an idea involved in that, and nothing can happen to that idea but that it will grow, and nothing can stop it but its own law. It is its own evidence. The oak tree is already there. You put an idea into your mind, and it would have worked exactly the same way because the universe is one system. This comes from the book called The Anatomy of Healing Prayer. It was written in 1991 on pages 116 and 117. And today's affirmation is, I hand my life, my affairs, and my problems over to divine intelligence, to the power that knows how to do everything. I hand my life, my affairs, and my problems over to divine intelligence, to the power that knows how to do everything. I hand my life and my affairs over to the divine intelligence. And I just want you to think about right now. I want you to think about right now, what is so on the forefront of your mind that you haven't given it over to God? Have you have not given it over and surrendering, thinking that you have to make it happen? I can't tell you how many days I woke up thinking I was the make it happy queen. Ooh, I got to hustle. I got to make it happen. See, I grew up with a hard work consciousness. You see, I grew up with thinking that I, Janine Ann Ingram, was the queen of making it happen. But in my receivership of learning, I learned so quickly that all I had to do was be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. It took a long time to really understand that I can do no more good and I can create more and make more things happen by being still. And then being led by the divine action, the divine intelligence, to the power that knows how to do all things. I thought if I didn't put my hands in it, it wasn't going to get done properly. You see, as I look up and know today, as I look up and know today that God is all there is, somebody today needs to know that whatever's troubling you, you need to turn it over to God. You see, somebody's concerned about health. You need to really turn it over to God. And I cannot tell you today how many people call me with physical situations going on. And I say, you know, I want you to get still in here. And so maybe I may hear that magnesium might be something people might want to think about adding to their diets, more magnesium, more chlorophyll. Sometimes I hear that, right? Okay, well, I got to ask my doctor. Well, ask the doctor within. How many of your doctors really want you to take some natural process? I'm not talking about some herbs. Some herbs do react with medicine. But chlorophyll is just, or magnesium, whether you want to take your straight magnesium or a form of magnesium that's in chlorophyll, it is just something that needs to be in our body. Stop giving your power over to something other than what's in you. And don't believe in, no, I believe in doctors. But I believe doctors are co-healers, not the answer and the see-all and the be-all. The answers are within you. You have to, I'm going to tell you right now, my daughter, Diamond Nurse, would not be here if I had to just turned over everything to the doctor. I can't tell you the last time. We took her to the emergency room 5 times. And the 5th time I said, I'm not leaving until they give me something that makes sense. Now, it wasn't all the same emergency room, different emergency rooms. And it was twice to the same emergency room. But this time I said, I'm not leaving. I don't care what they tell me. I said, we're going to stay in that hospital till I get an answer that makes sense. But somehow, subconsciously, I knew she wasn't. She was on the brink. She was at death's door. She was knocking at the door. She kept telling me, I see the light. And when we get there, they move us emergency in. We run in, and she couldn't walk. They bring me a wheelchair to the car. We get inside the emergency space, and they come telling me some more stuff like they did. Flu, some kind of infections, urinary tract, this kind of infection, that kind of, and I kept saying, it is none of that. And I said it with such authority that every time they came back, they went back to look for something else. It took 4 times before they realized, when they did the MRI, that her appendix had been busted. But if I had went home with the idea that she just had an infection again, and they gave me some pills for her, she wouldn't have made it this time. Because they had told me that she wasn't going to make it in the hospital. You see, the poison was so filled up in her body that it was just a snap away from the heart. But the blessing was that her body had contained it all in one big space. What am I saying? I'm saying that we have to learn to hear the inner spirit, the divine intelligence. We cannot keep giving over our power. Now, am I saying no doctors? No, because I'm grateful that the doctors listened to me and then they knew exactly what to do from there. Because I wouldn't have known what to do with no busting appendix that close to the heart. Well, maybe I would have. Spirit said, yes, you would. I said, okay, God, yes, I would have. But thank you for the doctor. I still thank you for the doctor. We can't keep giving our power. We have to learn how to use our spiritual tools. And what I want to talk about today is we got to teach our children how to pray over themselves, how to hear their inner spirit. As we pray for one of our Love Journey family members, two of her young men in her family has been in a month have left the planet because of gun violence. My prayers right now is that as we come together as communities to collectively heal the planet, we got to teach our children how to pray, family. We're doing a disservice when we're not teaching them how to hear their inner spirit. We must teach them how to hear. My daughter Asia was about 13, 14. And she was meeting up with some friends, and they were going to all meet up on 47th Street at the train station. So when she gets there, none of her friends are there. She's the first person there, right? But I have to be at a meeting, so I have to leave her, right? And so they were going to meet up at the train station and go downtown. So I called maybe about 10 minutes later. Nobody was there yet. I called about some another time. And baby, by the third time I called, she said, "Mom, I'm covered by the blood of the Most High God." She said, "And I know how to pray over myself, and I know how to hear my spirit. I'm good and I'm safe. Don't worry." And I guess she knew that I was concerned about the fact that I was leaving home 47, that I maybe, because maybe in the last 15 minutes I may have called four times, right? And so the last time I said, "You're right." And she said, "You taught me how to hear my spirit. I know when to move. I know when to go. I know what to do when something is upon me. I know how to do it because you taught us." Family, we got to teach our children how to hear their spirit. I can't tell you how many times I've been saved by the Most High just by hearing my spirit. And I come to you today because I prayed all night for these families who are losing their children, their babies, releasing them from their physical bodies. And I know our ways are not God's way, but I know there's a solution. And I know if we pray enough together, there's a solution that will be downloaded in our spirit. But the biggest thing I know right now is to teach our children how to hear their own spirit, to teach their children how to pray over themselves and trust that when they hear, to take action upon what they hear. You see, I know it works. I was a little girl growing up in the streets of Chicago. And believe it or not, the only thing that's different today is that technology lets us hear the violence. We had violence when I was growing up, probably as much or more. But we didn't know about it because we didn't have the news feeding us as much today, because news is faster. We can see something happening in real time today. But we can teach our children how to survive through the process by hearing themselves, their inner self. My girlfriends and I walked in the liquor store. My spirit said, "Leave out right now." We left out. I told my girlfriend, "Come on, let's go right now." And because she was so used to my gift, she just, whatever I said, she'd do, because she knew and seen that if we hadn't left plenty of times, we would have got hurt. We walked out, some guys came in, they came in shooting and robbing the liquor store. But we came out the store just in time that we was not inside the store. Spirit said, "Move right now." I can't tell you why I knew how to do that. I don't know how, you know, at that young age, I knew how to hear my spirit and do it. But I just did. But I'm sure growing up in the streets of Chicago, nobody in my house and staying out in too late and being out at 3 and 4, 2 and times 13 and 14 and 15-year-old girls shouldn't been out in the streets. Mostly because my mom wasn't there and there was nobody there to feed me and I was just in the streets. And you don't know how many times men walked up on me trying to convince me to sell my body and to do things that and tried to tell me how beautiful I was. And even though I had low self-esteem and even though I wasn't one of the most confident, I didn't fall for the altar, though, because God had me covered, because I prayed over myself, not probably the way I should have known how to pray, but the best way I knew how to pray. And whenever fear came upon me, I would say the 23rd Psalm. And if we don't do nothing else but teach them the 23rd Psalm or the Our Lord's Prayer, there was many times that I would just pray the Our Lord's Prayer. You see, God brings people in your life for a reason. I didn't know it then, but I do know it now. I'll never forget in one of my foster care, she made us memorize the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm. And she said if we ever in danger or ever felt fear, to recite the 23rd Psalm. And you don't know how many times walking down the street at 22 o'clock in the morning when I should have been in the house, saying the 23rd Psalm. And I'm sure with everything that's inside my body that I walked through the valley of the shadow of death many times. You see, I know that God is my shepherd, the Lord, and I shall not want. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou with me, thy rod and thy staff, thou comfort me. If I don't remember nothing else, that was the biggest thing I said whenever fear came upon me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou with me. The Lord is my shepherd, family. I shall not. He lead me beside the still water. He restored my soul. I can't tell you how many times that prayer brought peace when I was in fear. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. When I didn't know where I was going to eat because I didn't have any money to get no food. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be hungry. And somehow I'll find a dollar to go buy some French fries. Until the guy decided one day in the grocery store, Super Low, right there on 71st Street. I live 7006 South Cricket. He was a caramel man with gray hair. I'll never forget him. And I saw him a few years back walking down the street, and he said, Janine, I still don't remember his name. He remembered me. He said, I remember when you used to come in the grocery store, and I remember when you, I said, I remember you used to feed me. And I said to him, I'm so grateful. He would give me a bag of groceries every week. He said, come in every Monday and get you a bag of groceries. And he would give me a bag of groceries. And he would put me a German chocolate cake in there with my groceries. He would give me lunch meat stuff, things that I could cook, and then I would bring it home and I would have food to eat. I tell you, You see, God is so strategic in how God does everything. I want you to know today we have to teach ourselves and our children how to pray. We got to learn how to be still and know that God is. I can't tell you how many times I was in anxiety, and all I would say is, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I remember being in danger's way. I went on a job interview. It's a true story, and it sounds so crazy that it don't even sound true even when I tell the story. Sometimes I think to myself, well, you had to be there to know. I can't make this stuff up. My girlfriend had took the civil service test, and she was working for the state of Illinois. And she saw on a board interview this company, Interdome Realty, was looking for a receptionist. She called me, gave me the number. I called the number, and we set up an interview. But what's interesting about it is that the interview was way up on Harlem, North Harlem somewhere. And they asked, well, did I know how to get there? I said, no. They said, they'll come get me. Now, I don't know why I was thinking about. Who comes get you for an interview? So these two white guys pull up on 95th in Chicago at the train station. I meet them. I take the bus to the train station. Now I got on this long, beautiful skirt. I got this silk blouse on, my pumps on, and I got my beautiful person. I'm looking really professional. I'm really excited about the interview now. I was about maybe 18 years old. And so I get in the back seat. It's a black car, four-door car. I don't know what kind of car it was. And we're talking and basically, so we finally get up. It took us maybe about 45 minutes to an hour to get to wherever we was going on the north side. So we go into this round kind of building. It was a round building. It was a very interesting structure, and I liked architecture. So it was a very, very unique structure. And we go in, and we take the elevator to wherever floor, whatever. We go to this office. Both of them come to the office, and they close the door and lock it. As soon as I heard the lock, I knew immediately I was in danger. I knew it. I said, God, how could I put myself in this? I was thinking to myself, so I began to pray silently. But I'm smiling and everything, and I never stopped praying on the inside. And I knew instantly I had to be very smart in how I moved through this process, because this really not an interview. I already figured it out, right? But I just faked. And so they start asking me questions. They start telling me about a girl they just interviewed and on Jeffrey who worked there and how she performed sexual favors for them in order to get the job. So I knew that they were saying if I wanted the job, I knew that meant that if I wanted the job that I had to perform sexual favors. And I'm thinking to myself, if I got to perform sexual favors and then work to get paid, something wrong with that, because they didn't realize I grew up with a grandmother. That don't make sense to me, you know. You don't come home. Her biggest thing was you not coming home with a wet, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, they must think that I'm a fool right here. I must have been a fool thinking that I could trust them, right? But these are all the thoughts going on in my head. So I just began to just have conversation, and I was really, you know, having conversation. I was really, you know, praying on the inside. And they was trying to convince me. And I was making them laugh. I was keeping things light, you know, because I wanted to get out of there. I wanted to get out of there without being raped, without being hurt, without getting killed, without whatever. I wanted to live. So I made them laugh. I could be, you know, I was just, whatever came to my mind. We even talked about Jesus. We talked about God. We talked about so much stuff that by the time they just said, okay, this girl. And they unlocked the locks. They took me
and put me in the car, but they let me out somewhere in Val Hotel. They said it was going to come back and get me. I knew they wasn't, but I was okay because I knew I was going to be safe. So I guess they decided to, they wasn't, whatever reasons, they let me out and they left me way up there. Now, I didn't even know where I was. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And this is why you have to have a relationship with your children. I was in a position that I didn't know who to call to come get me, tell them what happened. So I'm sitting there going, how I'm going to get home. I don't even know how to get home. I don't even know where I'm at. And I should have been able to just pick up a phone and call my mom or my dad, my sister, my brother, somebody, and say I need help, right? So I'm sitting there, and all it has to be around May because it's prom time. All these white kids coming in for prom, and it was just white people everywhere. I ain't see a black face nowhere. And I was thinking to myself, well, who going to help? And I was sitting there going, God. And all of a sudden, two guys walk in. So I must have been by O'Hara. Two guys come in. They were Skycast, and they were black guys. And guess what? I happened to know one of the guys. I had been introduced to him one time. I walked into him. I remembered his name. Now I'm going to remember it today. And I said, hey, you remember me? Maybe his name was Larry. I said, hey, Larry, you remember me? I'm so excited. And I say, he said, yeah, I remember you. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I told him what happened. I told him, could he help me get back to, you know, at least close back to the house or take me back home? He said, yeah. Would you believe? He said, but I got to stop at a party first. So he stopped. He stopped at his house. He get changed. I'm sitting in the car. He gets in the car, and then he takes me to a party that turns out to be a bachelor party. I had never been to a bachelor party. Didn't even know what happened. So my little crazy self is sitting there in the living room watching TV because they had the game on, and these older guys are sitting in the living room. So I'm just waiting on him because I'm ready to go, and I can get up. And I'm walking around, and I see in every room, it's a few girls in each room doing different things, and everything is happening. I'm like, whoa, what kind of party is this? I'm thinking. So then the guy comes in, and they say, oh, this is the party for him. He's getting married. They introduce him to me. I was like, oh, okay, and let's go back to the front room because they were doing stuff that I didn't want to be involved in. I'm like, God, what is going on? I got to get home. So this is happening on the west side. So finally the guy says, you ready to go home? I'm like, yeah. So we go back, and he wants me to say bye to the guy that's getting married. So it's a lady sitting on his lap. I'm thinking it's his wife. So I said, oh, this is your wife. Oh, my God. They's looking like this girl is so green that it don't even make no sense. And I think he was trying to get me to be with the guy, too. And I'm like, no, let's go. I got to go home. I could not wait to get home. It was like a dream. But what am I saying? I'm telling you all this to say, if it wasn't for, I know for the grace of God, if it wasn't for me praying, if it wasn't for me knowing how to pray, and I don't know, I was always a prayer. Even when I wasn't doing when I was knowingly doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing. Okay, God, I know I ain't supposed to be doing this, but I'm going to need you to protect me, Holy Spirit. I don't know, that's crazy, but I did. God, can you protect me? And because God take care of the baby and fools, and I was both of them. I was a baby and a fool, and God took care of me. But I asked God for protection. I asked God to take care of me. I asked God. And that little old lady, who is mean as a snake, in that foster care home, made us learn the Lord is our shepherd, and made us learn the Our Father prayer, was a blessing. Because when I was in that space, when they locked the door, those two white guys, they were big white guys too. I'm not saying, you know, just giving you the color they were, just because, you know, that was who they were. I'm saying to you right now, I knew instantly that I needed to pray. When they closed that door and locked, I'm like, oh, my God, how could I fall for the okie doke, God? because I wanted a job. I wanted to make money, and I was super excited. I wasn't thinking. But I'm so grateful God kept me. I'm so grateful that I knew how to pray. You see, the one thing that was consistent in all the homes, because my mother didn't go to church, and we didn't go to church in my mama's house. And when I moved back with my mama, I still knew how to pray, even when I didn't go to church. But every foster care I was in took me to church. Ain't that something? I went to Catholic school. And when I moved with my sister, we had to go to church. That's where I met Dr. Johnny Coleman. But I'm going to tell you, that old lady who taught me how to pray, I don't know why. She felt the need to teach us how to pray, but she taught us how to pray. Not how to pray our own prayers. She taught us those prayers. But you see, as I began to learn to talk to God myself, I just talk to God like I'm talking to you right now. God, I'm going to need you to keep me right now, God. God, I know I probably didn't hear my inner self when you told me probably not to go up here. Because I was so excited. I was so in excitement that I didn't hear myself say that I probably shouldn't be. But when I got in the car, I did feel something. And I was thinking, well, two guys come and pick you up for an interview? This don't make no sense. Why? They could have interviewed me on the south side then. You know, I'm thinking to myself, but I still go. As soon as the lock changed, as soon as the door closed and the lock, my spirit knew instantly. I had to get in protection mode. And I had to figure out how I was going to get out of there. So the whole time I'm looking at them, but I'm looking around, how I'm going to get both of them if they come up on me, what I'm going to do, God. You know, and the best thing I could do right now is to keep them conversating. See, the good thing that I've been blessed with is my mouth. I know how to talk a good game. I know how to talk. And I kept them so intrigued with conversation that they just let me go. But I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was God because I was praying the whole time. It's a big world out here. We can't teach our children how to be in fear, but we got to teach them how to pray. We got to teach them how to hear themselves. And I say that repeatedly because I don't want us to continue to move down this road if we don't teach our babies how to pray over themselves. And so today I just want you to take this message and really embody the message that our children have to learn how to pray. See, I think that when you grow up in an environment with a mother or father or your mother and you're coming home every day and you're going to, you don't have to think about things that I had to think about, which was to live, how to live. How am I going to make it through the streets today? How am I going to make sure I eat today? You see, where most kids are creating their lives and journaling and praying and coloring, I had to figure out how to survive in whatever home I was in because there's predators in homes, in these foster care homes too. So every night I would go to sleep with my coat and my clothes on just to stay protected because if anybody came up on me, I'm running, I'm jumping out a window. I'm always thinking about how I'm going to survive as a kid. And no kid should have to think about every day of their life. Survival. You can't think about tomorrow when tonight you're thinking about what you're going to eat and when you go to bed with your hungry stomach. And to the point where I knew how to just eat enough where I could survive and knew how to drink enough water just in case I couldn't eat, I could make it. And so I want you to know today, what we're seeing out here is an effect of what's been going on in these homes. we talk about these kids, but it ain't the kids' fault, family. It's not these children's fault. It's not in the fruit, it's in the root, family. And the root of whatever's happening in these homes need to be changed through our prayers, through our support, through our community, whatever and however. We need to make a difference. And the first place we're going to make a difference is teaching our children how to pray. We got to stop judging our children that you see going. We don't know what's going on in the homes. You see, plenty of people didn't know what was going on with me. Plenty of times I was walking down the street when I needed to be in the house. But it was only through the grace of God and God's favor that I stand here today to tell you this story. Because that's your most primal survival instincts kick in. You learn to hear your inner spirit. But if you conditioned in a home all the time, you don't learn to hear your inner spirit as well unless you taught that. And I want you to know today, wherever you are, as a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, it's time that we stop and sit with our babies to teach them how to hear their inner spirit. That's my message. That's all I want to tell you today. I don't have no other message than for you to take action on every child that's in your care, in your lineage, if it's a foster baby, whatever, teach them how to pray over themselves and hear their inner spirit. Sit with them and teach them how to be still and hear the inside. Trust that the knowing is already there. Take them through a journey of their inner self. And so that's what I'm asking you today. I'm telling you right here, Janine Ann Ingram, Lady Love, Love Goddess, whatever you call me, however you name me, even if you don't know my name, however you refer to me, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for prayer. If I didn't hear my inner self, if my favorite scripture wasn't Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. I just would start my prayer off with that. I would sit with myself and say, be still and know. And when I was in danger, it was Psalm 2, the 23rd Psalm. And so I leave you with the 23rd Psalms today as I remind you that your life is a gift from God. I want to remind you that you're equipped with everything you need on the inside. This was my lifesaver. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restored my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anointed my head with oil, and you and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and always. I can't tell you how many times I said it over and over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And see, sometimes we're not necessarily in fear of danger, but sometimes we fear of not having enough. And the Lord is my shepherd reminds us what? That God is all there is. God is all there is. That God is our everything. And that we shall never want for a thing. Never shall we want for a thing. I shall lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. And what is a shepherd? God, a shepherd leaves and takes care of his flock or her flock. And when I'm not feeling good, God led me beside the still waters and restored my soul. God's rod and God's staff in the time when I needed to be comforted. And when I walked in the valley of the shadow of death. And even though I knew I was in the valley of the shadow, I feared no evil, for I knew that God was with me. I called forth the presence of God to walk with me and talk with me and lead me and to guide me and protect me so that I could be here today. Family, it's our responsibility to teach the babies how to pray. That's my message. Any questions, comments, or concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk and press star 6 if you're on a teleconference line. And I just want to thank you today for your presence on this call. So, as I leave you today, I want to remind you that it's our responsibility, collectively and individually, to be the light. It's our responsibility, collectively and individually, to do our work so that the lineage of our people can continue to thrive, not just survive, but thrive in the work and the action that we take today will change the trajectory of how people see us on the planet. So that's my message today. That is my message for today. And I leave you with them. Knowing that God is. You see, I know because it worked on me. I leave you with the message knowing that God is always with us and will never leave nor forsake us. We have to call forth that presence, invite the presence in, ask the presence to lead us and meet, and learn how to trust that the voice we hear is the voice of knowing. So I just want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to trust love, family, because love is the only choice. Choose love. And remember, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. And so as I leave you with this prayer, Divine Mother, Father, God, come, Holy Spirit. Somebody came today, God, because they needed a word today, God. Divine Mother, Father God, somebody needed to hear a word from you today. Speak to our minds today, God. And as we're reminded of all your miracles, God, we say thank you. Speak to our hearts today, God. As we're reminded, God, that you are all there is. Father, Mother, God, I'm asking you to teach us how to see like you see, God. Because we recognize that your ways are not our ways, God. I'm asking you to come, God, and bring your healing waters right now, God. I'm asking you to come right now and bring your healing waters in our heart right now, God. And let us drink from the well of your healing waters that we will never thirst again, God. Let us eat from your spiritual food that we shall never hunger again, God. Let us pick up our beds and walk today, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and rain down your love. Rain down your love upon us right now, God. That nothing but you shall manifest through us, God. Let every cell in our body come into agreement with our word right now, God. Let every cell and every muscle fiber and every organ in our body come into agreement right now, God, that we are love. I am love. I am love. We are love. And love is how we will have our way today in all that we do, God. I'm asking you to command your angels today, God, to go forth, God, and create a path for us that will be created with ease, elegance, and grace, God, that nothing but good shall come our way, God. I'm asking you to open up your windows, your gates, your heaven, and blow out a blessing, God. Oh, I'm talking about a blessing that will blow our minds today, God, a blessing that will wow us today, God. Oh, I'm asking you to come, God, and let us change the trajectory of how we move and have our being on this planet, God. I'm asking you to come right now, God. And do your will as we surrender to the presence right now. In the mighty consciousness that is love, I say amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. And I see you in the morning, family.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Your baby boy will give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, the face of God. Mary, did you know? Did you know that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, your baby boy will one day rule the nation.